Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to
Ray and Kay today, talking sports with friends.
Sports radio on the dial. Check us out. We'll make you smile. And they spit it, don't play. And we're talking nothing but the NFL and NBA, MLB, college football, college basketball, some tennis for y'all.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. You're listening to Ray and Tay today, and I'm Ray, Tall Rayside.
And I'm Tay, Eric Taylor, and it is Friday in December. Are you guys ready? Let's talk some sports. Give us a call, 718-664-9098. Like always, we'll take your emails at rayandtaytoday@gmail.com. We got some coming in about the Heisman Trophy coming up. And even about our guests, we got some Jet fans emailing us in. So we'll talk about it. And like always, you know, tweet at us on Twitter. Very interactive. We got the website, rayandtaytoday.com. YouTube us, Facebook us, FaceTube. We got to marry them two together, Ray. YouTube and Facebook. We got FaceTube. You don't know about that yet. That's coming in 2025. So
no,
well, tell our audience, we got our guest coming, Wesley Walker from the New York Jets, in a couple of minutes. So we'll definitely talk NFL Jets with him so people can get ready for that. But let's start off with our segment off the field. We got a bunch of tidbits going around. Not too much to me for the Melo trade stuff. I think it's kind of foolishness. What are your thoughts on that? And the Knicks and their record, and just what do you think's going on with Melo and the Knicks?
Nobody's trading anybody. Melo's here to stay at least for a while. The whole thing is, you knew that this was a rebuild for the Knicks. Everybody knew that, and the big deal is if you can rope in a free agent in 2015 or 2016. So you knew that this season was a wash. You and I both thought the Knicks might catch one of the last playoff spots, but obviously that's not going to happen. It's just frustration. And just like I have a moratorium on talking about the Knicks until they win 10 games on
this
show.
All right, next subject. Okay, look, listen, we keep it moving. Now, on a more serious note, we had a bunch of things happen this week with the I Can't Breathe t-shirts. We have the March on Washington on Saturday for Eric Gardner, Michael Brown, Trayvon Martin, and Kobe, LeBron, KG, obviously with the royalty coming from England at the Brooklyn Nets game. What do you think about all the players and I guess this new found social responsibility from such huge names in sports? And obviously it's been in football and in basketball, but LeBron and Kobe, you don't get much bigger than that.
You know, I like it because we talked about this off air. LeBron James, Kobe, these are the guys, I mean, passing the torch one to another, probably the guys in their sport for the last 10, 15 years. You know, we look back to who was the guy in his sport before them, and that was Michael Jordan, and Michael Jordan was conspicuously absent from any social discussions.
Yeah,
so,
same with Jeter and Tiger Woods. They never spoke up on anything.
Yeah, maybe it's the Nike guys. I don't know. But to the extent that these guys have an opinion and they feel like it's an important social issue, then look, basketball is still basketball. It's just a game. I mean, not to downplay it, right? These social issues are more important. But you have a platform to say some things and some things, if they're on your chest and you really believe them, then you have a right and, to some degree, a responsibility.
Definitely. And they're doing it in warm-ups. So I think for the fans or people that have been really critical of it, I think, you know, I think these guys have done it in a classy, respectful way, and it's in warm-ups, and so I'm not, you know, I have no issue with it, and I think it is necessary. I think, obviously, it's very serious. We're having a march on Washington, and, you know, hey, people are dying, and it's something that needs to be talked about. And unfortunately, in our country, race is still an issue that we can't, or we have not been able to sort of figure out or solve or talk, you know, really talk about. God, I sounded so New York there, right? I'm out here for 3.5 years in Arizona, folks, and that talk.
You can't take the New York out of you. I love it.
I'm New York all day, man. So we can't talk about it. So I don't know. So that's that. You know, we figured that. Now we keep it moving. The NFL player conduct policy was sort of shoved in our faces and shoved down the players' throats with them not being considered. I think it's good overall in terms of laying everything out. I think they should have included the players. We're still waiting to hear the final thing with the Peterson hearing. I don't know why.
No, it just came out. The appeal was denied. It just hit the press.
Wow, Ray.
The independent arbiter denied Adrian Peterson's appeal.
And
so
you
that
know
means he's definitely sidelined for the remainder of the season.
You know what's weird about that? I think if the Vikings wanted him back more, I think that maybe he'd be playing. I don't think they want to deal with it.
Well, I gotta say, Ziggy Wolf's in a weird position here, right?
Yeah.
He has to pay a guy, but he doesn't get the services of the best running back in the NFL. And
but
so
now
he's
not getting paid at all, right?
Place.
He's not getting paid now. He's not on the exempt list anymore, and he's just
right.
You know, got to come back.
For 10 weeks, he was paying him.
Right? No, definitely. And so now, but this is the thing, and we spoke about this off air, Ray. It's kind of weird. Because of the Ray McDonald case, the new, you know, thing is if a guy does something, you know, they're going to hire this independent, so probably somebody with a criminal justice background, you know, to do the initial investigation and dish out the penalty, then they can appeal it. The appeal will go to Roger, and that's not what the players wanted. And I think I don't think I would want that, especially with the mess that he's caused in all of this. And sort of basically like lying and you know, saying he got this from Ray and he didn't get this from Ray. And, you know, the judge kind of ripped him in the you know, ruling. So right now, basically, players will basically go on the exempt list and get off the field immediately because they don't want a Greg Hardy playing week to week. But the controversy or the issue is, what about a Ray McDonald who was never charged? And you're going to take him off the field? That's kind of hard. I don't know. That's weird to me.
Yeah, there's always this issue of due process and the fact that the NFL wants to preempt the court system. But then again, the court systems are so slow that, you know, you can't be in limbo as long as the judicial system takes. So this is a tough balance. But you know what? At the end of the day, Roger Goodell didn't give any of his power up. He's still the ultimate decision maker here, right? He let some people enter in early in the process, but at the end of the day and at the end of the process, it's Roger Goodell's decision.
Let's keep it real. Hey, on a sad note, on the court, the Kentucky forward, Alex Poitras, is done. What do you think
ACL.
About... right. Very sad. He was going to be probably, the way he was playing, maybe a first-round, you know, late first-round pick. Do you think he comes back next year? Does he still go to the pros, and does this at all affect this Kentucky team in terms of winning a title? Because he was a big piece, veteran on the team, does a little bit.
He was, but you know what? They're so deep and they're so talented. With all due respect to Alex Poitras, who's a nice, solid player, right? He was a McDonald's All-American. He was supposed to be probably one of the one-and-done guys and more dominant than he was, but it turns out that he's a very good role player in Kentucky. Look, anytime you have a veteran and somebody who's won a national championship and has been part of the Calipari system for 3 years, wow, that seems unbelievable. This kid is will be missed, but they probably will not skip a beat. They may lose a game, but they're probably still odds-on favorite to win every game from now on, including six games in March and April to win themselves a national championship. I mean, they've got to be the favorite, even without Poitras. I mean, they got 10 guys on that team, 11 guys on that team that can legitimately start anywhere in Division I.
No, I think they're obviously legit, and we'll see how it all plays out. We kind of both feel it's Duke or Wisconsin that might even be able to play with them a little bit, or Arizona, but it looks like they are by far the most talented team. Now, we got to talk about Thursday Night Football. Obviously, before we get Wesley on and the injury, Stanton is hurt in the Cardinals' 12-6 win. Ugly game. I know you were sort of on the road and running errands. I don't know if you caught it all, but very, very ugly game. I think the Cardinals' defense outshined the Rams' defense. Stanton is week-to-week with a knee sprain, which could mean he's out for the rest of the season. Who knows? It's good for them that they got that 11th win because I think that might be enough to make the playoffs. Especially because the Cowboys and Eagles play each other. and, you know, there are a lot of division, you know, people playing each other in the division. But even if they lose the last two or win one, I just don't know going forward with Stanton, Lindley, or Logan Thomas if it's enough to win one or two playoff games. Where do you think the Cardinals
stand? No, I don't think so. I think they're one and done. But you know what? Even still, Carson Palmer goes down. Andre Ellington goes out. You have defensive injuries.
He washed the whole season.
It's,
you know,
still, yeah, Darryl Washington. It's still a beautiful, wonderful season, foundational season to build on for next year.
Who's
even
there?
If you lose the next
Coach
two
the
and you're out in the first round, you're 11-5, and you've got a nice foundation to build on next year. So I don't expect much. I expect them to lose their next three. The Arizona Cardinals, but they still had a magnificent season. Look at me writing them off already. Next three, meaning the two, and they'll lose the playoff game.
Oh, yeah, they'll lose the first. Oh, wow.
They'll lose their next three games, right? But it's okay because it's still
nice. But you got to admit, this has been a yeoman's job for Coach Arians. He's coach of the year, and I got to believe, Ray, if we're being honest, and I didn't know this. Did you know he was the head coach at Temple back in the days, and his star, one of his star players was Todd Bowles, who is now the defensive coordinator, and I believe he deserves a head coaching job. I think he's a hot coordinator, him and Dan Quinn on Seattle defense.
Darryl Bevell.
And Dan Bevell, exactly. I think those three guys might be the front runners to get some of these jobs out there, along with, you know, we don't know, right? How many jobs might be available come the end of the season? You think?
Oh, a good
four to eight. I mean, who knows, right?
Yeah, four to eight. Yeah, I think six, seven. Yeah, look, both jobs in New York will be available. There'll be, you know, Tampa, Jacksonville,
maybe Atlanta,
all these teams.
Not Tampa.
Maybe Atlanta.
I don't think
with
Tampa.
Mike Smith.
Tampa's fine. I think Lovie.
Maybe they're long term with Lovie. That's true. But yeah, I mean, anywhere I would say six, seven. I mean, I have to look team by team. There's 32 teams, but I could see six, seven easily. And the musical, the musical chairs continue.
Right. We got to see what
but
happens.
I tell you what, though, St. Louis.
Huh?
St. Louis is the Raiders' job for sure, right? Because Sperano's interim. But at San Francisco, right? So right there, that's four. The two Bay Area teams and the two New York teams are going to turn over. That's four right there, guaranteed.
You don't think Coughlin's got a shot? I know a lot of people still feel that Coughlin, that he's worked up enough
street
cred.
No, I think they're going to turn the page. I think they're going to turn the page and just keep Eli, but start fresh. So hold on. We got our caller here.
All right.
Patch him in. Hello, you're on the air with Ray and Tay.
I'm not so sure you know who this is. It's Wesley
Yes.
Walker.
We know. How are you?
Yes. I'm good. I was just calling you from a different number, you know?
I figured as much. Hey, first of all, thank you for joining us, and thank you, especially given that you just had some surgery. So we really appreciate you taking the time to call in and talk some football with us.
Well, that's no problem. At least I'm on my back, and I don't have to move, so I can't go do anything anyway. So that's perfect timing.
Okay, great.
Good to hear, Wesley. Wesley, welcome to Ray and Tay Today. I am Tay, Eric Taylor. I'm going to jump right into it. Obviously, you know, huge fans. Ray and I grew up on the Upper West Side of New York City, big Jet and Steeler fans. And I got to ask you, with the Jets being 2-11 right now with this mess, what changes would you make going to, you know, obviously next season in the future to sort of correct it and put in a solid foundation? With Idzik, Ryan, a new quarterback. Give us a touch. You're the GM.
You know, that is very difficult from a guy looking from the outside because you don't know the inner workings inside. If I was at the meetings, I knew exactly what's going on, how they really operate between the communication with Rex Ryan, Idzik, and the owner, you know, then I could maybe make an accurate assessment. I was there last weekend. They had and it was an awesome situation with Wayne Cribbett with the Ring of Honor thing, and they had a weekend of functions. I had a chance to talk with Terry Bradway, who heads the scouting department for college, and they're all just completely embarrassed. And when you have a situation like this, and nobody goes in a season thinking they're going to lose a lot of football games, and certainly, and I'm embarrassed. I and my girlfriend's holding me to it. I had them 12-4, you know, because I liked the acquisitions during the off season. I liked what was presented in the draft if guys stay healthy. But with injuries and things not panning out, these things that, you know, kind of not work out, it's very difficult. And especially in these days and times with free agency, and every year is different. And I look at the quarterback situation. They have so many different areas that need to be addressed. And where do you start? So, first of all, you have to come up with a plan. Now, the plan, do you clean house? And it starts with the head coach and the general manager, you know, and that's going to be a hard situation to have to deal with. I happen to like Rex Ryan. I think he's a great coordinator. I know he's a great head coach. I know he's a player's coach, and that's the kind of guy that I would love to play for. The verdict is not out on John Izik. I had an opportunity to play for his father, who I had a great deal of respect for, and I saw John the other day on the field, and he has always gone out of his way to say hello, and you like that, because I'd like to see more of the alumni and the organization to reach out to those guys who want to be involved with the organization. But when you look at this whole overall content of this football team, and it does start with the owner, so he's got to make a decision. And he's got to figure out, do you clean house with the general manager, or do you clean house with the general manager and the head coach? And I think if it was me, you know, I have to evaluate who's out there, who's available. And if there are coaches out there that I believe that could turn the situation around, I have to look at that situation, you know. So I don't know their program and their directions. I just hope that the Jets have a plan, and they have to sit down and figure that plan out. Every coach has his own vision, every general manager, how you work it together, that's the big problem. And I'm not so sure if they have it together in that aspect. You know, we can only speculate as fans and the things you hear and the media, but I'm not there to know exactly what's going on so I can make a true assessment. But looking at what has happened over the last 2 or 3 years, you know, I would think that they're going to probably clean house and start all over again.
Right, and that's fair, and I totally agree with you in a sense. Obviously, the respect for both of them, and, you know, I've been, you know, on our show banging the table for Rex Ryan because I think he does more with less. And he did not have the talent that he really needed. He needed a Wesley Walker and an Al Toon on the outside if you really want to help Geno Smith and a young quarterback. And so,
and that's very difficult to understand. And they don't have a big play wide receiver. They know they had to address the defensive backfield. And, you know, I know some guys got hurt. But somehow, some way, the guys that you do fit in with that puzzle or that piece – has to really work. And when you get rid of guys, you have to replace them. And they have not done a really good job with that. And I'm not so sure that has to do with Rex Ryan. And that's the general manager. That's money spent. And this year has been very, very baffling because they've made some decisions. And when you get a guy that you pay some money to and he goes AWOL and then you have their draft choices that get hurt and then you're stuck and you don't have anybody to replace him. And Rex Ryan is a great coach, but you can only do so much. And that was evident this year. You can only do so much with what you have. And that was a very – very telling situation this year and how bad it can get no matter how good you are as a coach.
No,
hey, Wesley,
definitely.
This is Tal. This is Ray. Question for you. You just said big play wide receiver. So as a guy who averaged 19 yards per catch in your career and 71 touchdowns, what do you think of today's NFL and how it's so offensive oriented, and it seems like you can't touch the wide receivers these days. What would your career have been like playing in this kind of offensive scheme?
Well, with me, I just wanted the opportunity to catch the football, no matter if you couldn't touch receivers. I mean, we could have, you know, we'd had the situation where we had that bump and run, and you can beat each other up physically. And so that never really bothered me. It's a little wide open now, and it makes it a little bit easier. But my biggest problem is was trying to get the football, you know. And, I mean, my counterpart, Al Toon, would catch 100 balls, and I think the most ball I think I caught in a season was 62, I think. And that was always a frustrating situation for me. And a lot of times you're caught in a system of what coaches think of you and how you're used. I was actually known as the deep threat. But I'd like to. I felt I could do more than that, and I wanted to be like the Jerry Rices. I wanted to be on a consistent level where I could catch 80 to 90 to 100 balls a season, and I just never had that luxury, and that was always frustrating for me. So when I got the opportunity, I tried to make the most out of it, and that's what I had to do on my average, whatnot. But it's just it's a different situation depending on coordinators and the system, and sometimes you're tied to coaches that really put a label on you. And matter of fact, I remember Al Toon came in, and Joe Walton didn't believe draft choices rookies could play. And look, and Al Toon finally got an opportunity when they finally let him play. You know, he's you know, 3-time MVP. You know, and so I think coaches have to really just evaluate their players, really know what they can and cannot do. And that's been so frustrating with the Jets right now, because I'm not so sure with their offense, and you know, because they have some great running backs and they have some quality players at a wide receiver, and it could be better, but I'm not so sure that the coaches have put those guys in the best situation. And it's been very frustrating to watch as a former player, guys that you thought were going to have more success. And you have to put people in certain situations to have them have the success, and nobody has done that. And I certainly didn't expect that this year. Obviously, the quarterback situation has to be addressed, and it was a disappointment, because I really have a lot of respect for Geno. I like him. He has ability, and he shows some glimpses and some flashes, and it takes some time. But you have to have the players around you. And the typical examples is what has happened with Sanchez going down to a different team and having better players surrounded and around you, and it makes it just a lot easier. I don't know what's going to happen with the Jets. And now if you clean house, you're going to have another coordinator come in, another coach, another system, and it's just not that easy. And you have some consistency and continuity. So it's going to be interesting to see what Woody Johnson is going to do in order to improve this football team.
Yeah, fair enough. Tell us about some stories about your team. I mean, you had some guys. We grew up, Ray and Tay, we grew up as huge Jets fans. So what was it like playing with the likes of, you know, Richard Todd and Kenny O'Brien, Freeman McNeil, Mickey Shuler, Bruce Harper, all of your guys?
You know,
you just
mentioned all those guys, and that's those are just the things I really miss. You know, everybody asks, do you miss the playing football? What I do miss is being around those quality guys. And, you know, you're there for 6 months out of a time, 6-8 months working together, and then sometimes you don't see the guys anymore. But you just mentioned Freeman McNeil. I just saw him the other night, and we reminisced on how good we were. And we certainly had our share of problems. And, you know, we went to the playoffs quite a bit. But we certainly – I've been through 3-11s and – some of those average type of seasons, and I always felt, I mean, we had some studs. I mean, I look at Joe Klecko, should be a Hall of Famer. We had some
Jackson
really cool
Lions, all those guys.
These guys are quality. You mentioned Mickey Shuler, Johnny Hector, Richard Todd, who was underrated. I always thought Richard Todd had to live in Joe Namath's shadow, and he should have tried to be Richard Todd. Kenny O'Brien is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever been surrounded by, and he never got the accolades he really truly deserved, if you look at his name. But he was a tough a competitor. I didn't care who was back to shoot. I had one of my best years with Matt Robinson, who took over Richard Todd. And we just had a lot of quality guys, but we just didn't have enough of them. And I still remember we went 10-1 in 86, and I thought we were going to the Super Bowl. But then we lost guys like Joe Klecko, Gastineau was hurt, Lance Mel got hurt, and these are our defensive players. And I don't care if it's defense or offense, when you lose key players, you know, it's a team sport. And I just remember clicking on all sides of the ball, special teams, offense, defense, getting turnovers, field position, that all works. And when you have success, those things are to happen. And then when we lost all those guys, you know, things didn't start to hit, you know. But I think about the – you just mentioned the Mud Bowl in 82. That was another team. We had a great football team, and I don't care when we were 3-11. We had no problems with Miami, but that was a rain-soaked field. And if Don Shula had their crew soaked the field, they did a smart thing to stop us because we certainly didn't play very well. But I think about Richard Todd, who had probably one of his worst games, but – he had a lot of games that were very, very good. And because we didn't win and weren't consistent enough, we really just didn't get the publicity and some of the accolades we really, truly deserve. Because we are all pro-caliber athletes. And when you don't win and you're not successful and you're not in the playoffs, I look at the Lynn Swann's numbers. My numbers were better than his. But yet he went to Super Bowl, MVP, you know, and you get that exposure, and you go to the Hall of Fame, you know, and we just didn't have that luxury. And you look at guys that you played with, and my biggest problem, too, is always staying healthy. Shoot, I can't even stay healthy, and I've been out of football now.
Yeah, I did that, the Achilles.
But you just have to appreciate the time that you had, and I wish I could do it all over again. And but you just mentioned Free McNeil, Mickey Schuler. Richard Todd, Kenny O'Brien, these are quality people, and these are the guys that are really truly missed. And what's really disheartening, I have a guy that was probably, I don't know how many times he went to the Pro Bowl, Marvin Powell. He was like my best man, roommate, and I don't even know where he is. And I think about guys like that. There's some guys in the area, and we have quite a few guys like Marty Lyons and a guy that I never played with, Emerson Boozer, Richard Kasser I played with, and these guys are on Long Island. I get the chance to see them, and so when we come to the games, and then they have these alumni situation, and the Ring of Honor, what they did for Wayne Corbett, we had a luncheon the day of. We had a nice dinner before, and the guys that came out, Michael Strahan, Anthony Beck, Vinny Testaverde, to give their testimonies. It's just nice. Even guys that you didn't play with, because when I retired,
family,
I did the
right? – You guys are the family.
Yeah,
it's
like that. And it's funny because we were in the hotel, and Vinny Testaverde comes over, and I did my first probably 5 years I did the pre and post game show like Marty does and Greg Buttle, and I had a chance to know these guys, you know, from not only as you know athletes, but just being in that Jet family. But these guys I didn't know very well, like Anthony Beck and Vinny Testaverde, but they automatically came over. And we had a nice time just sitting and chatting. And it's like you just have this close-knit family togetherness, and it's like a brotherhood, and it's really, really nice. And guys I haven't played with, Chad Pennington, you feel like you've known them for a long time, you know. And it was just great to get together and seeing all the guys that you don't get a chance to meet or see, and guys that you really never met before until – there, but because they play for the Jets, you have this brotherhood and it's a little fraternity, and it's just always nice because they're just down to earth people, and it's nice to see. It's nice to
That's
see
great.
And be around.
Hey, Wesley, let me ask you. Speaking about today's game, when you look at and not just how it's played, but you're an offensive guy, you have an offensive mind as a wide receiver, but when you look at Brady, Manning, Breeze, Rodgers, and the receivers, who do you like to watch today's game? And on the offensive side of the ball?
I don't have anybody in particular because I always felt like once you – it doesn't matter if you're on a last-place team, you know, you're going to have quality guys I can pick out. And I love seeing just nice offensive plays. I mean, I could look at Tom Brady and Breeze. You just admit, I mean, Peyton Manning, it doesn't get any better than that. And I remember Dan Marino. You look at the numbers that he put, and they never getting to a Super Bowl. And I swear, and I say this all the time, you know, even Joe Namath in his own right. Here's a guy I never played with, and it's like I've known him for years. But I would never trade Richard Todd or Kenny O'Brien for John Elway, Marino, or them put together. I'd take Kenny O'Brien or Richard Todd before any of those guys, you know. But that's just the prejudice of being in that Jet family. But I just like watching them. There's so many guys. I look at Fitzgerald, who's on, you know, he's got hurt and he's not having a great year, but he's a stud. And you have these years. Calvin Johnson, you know, Megatron, and he has the ankle problem. There's just so many things that can happen in the season. But there's not one guy that I don't admire, that I can see if they got the opportunity, they would have successors, just not any one guy. I mean, if I had to think of a receiver that I really, truly fell in love with was Jerry Rice, and that's from a statistical standpoint. But you have somebody that's going to come along and is going to probably beat his records also. And when you have success, it's really the guys around you, and that's something that, you know, we really missed the boat on. When I think of guys that have the success, it's the guys around you that make you, you know, really better, and it's also coaching. And I can honestly say if you don't have the coaching that's there, and a coach brings you to another level. When I first got to the New York Jets, I had a coach teach me something, and they brought me to another level. And all the time, 13 years with the Jets, I had one of those coaches that did that. Other guys, you can be a technician, you can practice and teach you the little things, but when you really learn something and you make yourself better, that's a coach. And I've only had one of those. And so it's coaching has something to do with it. It's that the system has something to do with it. And then also the guys around you. And I remember those San Francisco Super Bowl teams. I look at Jerry Rice, but you have virtually all pros at every position. And most of the time those guys that go to the Super Bowl or go to the Pro Bowls, they have a lot of Pro Bowl players, and that helps a lot. And that's something we didn't have around us enough of. You know, we had some great players, you know, and a lot of it's just being consistent, staying healthy. But we could play with anybody. But I don't look at any one player, because I feel like given the opportunity, you can pick a player on whether it's a running back position, wide receiver, quarterback, you know, and obviously at quarterback, you know, there's only certain people that really stand out in that department. But you can pick out probably on every team there are going to be a Pro Bowl quality player, and you just have to have the opportunity. And sometimes those qualities don't come out because you're with the wrong team, and that's unfortunate. And I feel like a lot of our players never got that opportunity because we just didn't have enough of those guys. And you get more publicity when you're winning, when you get into the playoffs, and you get more exposure. I can remember Bruce Harper led the league in all-purpose yardage. Should have been in the Pro Bowl, but they and a lot of it was politics.
Right?
And I remember Rick Upchurch, a guy who was very good, don't get me wrong, and he had been there multiple times, but they picked him over Bruce Harper. And if you want to go by the numbers, he should have been in there. And that's it. And back when I was playing, a lot of guys, if they didn't like you, they could call people, don't vote for this guy, don't vote for this guy. And it was like a politics thing too, you know. And that's a shameful part about that. And not necessarily it has to be statistical, but a lot of it, that's part of it. But sometimes just having the stats doesn't mean that you can't play. And I know from the experience, I could play with anybody. I know Joe Glecko could play with anybody. Mark Gatson, Freeman McNeil, you can make a long laundry list on the Jets. It could play with anybody, but we just didn't get those opportunities, whether it be injuries or you just didn't have the opportunities. And we had some guys that could really, really play. But like I said, I'm not prejudiced. I don't look at any one player. There's just so many out there. I don't like even comparing people. But I admire a guy like Peyton Manning, who's done it all for his career, and he's been amazing. But I look at Tom Brady. Look at Tom Brady at the beginning of the year. They had them washed up already. You just never know. I look at the Arizona Cardinals, who I have nothing but a respect for them, and they've done well, but they're going to have a problem with that quarterback situation.
Yeah.
And obviously the New York Jets, the defensive backfield position and that quarterback position, they didn't address those issues, and they've had problems. But a lot of times you just have to – winning becomes contagious, and so is losing. And you just get in that mindset sometimes. But I think if they get the right situation, they can turn this ship around, and I certainly hope they do. I just wouldn't want to be in their situation. I was with Woody Johnson at Corbett's luncheon, and we didn't get a really chance. And I wish I could sit around and talk with him to see what the format is. I know Terry Bradway has been embarrassed. I know the people there. There's some former players with the team. Nobody wants this. I know what Rex Ryan brings to the table. Nobody expected that. I certainly didn't expect it. Last year I had him at 8-8, and I got lucky. But I expected more this year. And I've been somewhat embarrassed. I've been to every game. And that Oakland game, I was so excited, and they look really, really good, and they just went downhill. But they just have to address some issues, and that's a big problem. I don't know when they're going to get a big play receiver. I like their running back situation, and they got to get the play from the quarterback, obviously, and you know, hopefully through the draft they can get someone there too. But they haven't been consistent, and you can't just, you know, have different coaches come in every year and expect the Jets are going to have success, and they have to have some type of chemistry over years of time, you know. And to have a changes all the time like they have been, it's just not going to operate that way. And that's been a big problem on the consistency part, because they just don't have enough experience together to know each other. But that's what the owner has to address. That's what the coach is going to have to address. And they definitely have to have a plan. I just don't know what their plan is. And that's up to Woody Johnson.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right.
I wanted to ask
Tom. Let me ask you one thing.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I just wanted to ask you one thing about off the field. Let me turn to off the field for a second. We talked a little bit about this off the air, but, you know, finally the NFL is getting around to addressing some of these off the field health issues, and specifically concussions. But everybody in the player community would agree that they're not doing enough. So,
no question about that.
Yeah, so what can the league do better? Because, you know, we all watched you guys and we had a great time as fans, and now, you know, you start to see the impact of playing football. So what can the league do
better?
Well,
they're trying to address the issues of, you know, trying to change and curb some of the rules. And obviously you're going to have these helmet-to-helmet or these contact situations. What I've been most disappointed about, and Roger Goodell, believe it or not, was an intern with the Jets, and I've known him for a long time. And when the CTE concussion syndrome came up, and I saw that documentary that was released, and having Roger testify in Congress and really not answer the questions and dance around the issues, and he still works for the owner, and just some of the things that happened this year with the Ray Rice and the Peterson incident, and how,
right,
you know, the public outcry becomes a big problem, and then they have to change things. My problem is I want the public, I want the fans, I want the players, I wanted them to know what the real issues are and what the truth is, and that's the problem that I have. I hope that you can get to the truth, and you know, and the NFL knew that there was a problem with this, the brain trauma, and there are some issues. Now, whether, you know, which I don't think you can put a monetary value on somebody's life, and who has gone through some of the things that people have gone through, and I know Al Toon is going through a lot. Wayne Corbett right now can tell you some stories, what he's having to deal with, and there's numerous people going through a lot of stuff. Shoot, just from my standpoint on injuries alone, I mean, since my retirement, I've had a major neck fusion, C4 through 7. I got 14 screws, a plate cage put in. And I still have residual effects from that constant pain. I had my, just this year, in January, and I've already had my right shoulder reconstructed just this year because I was falling down, because I've had a bad back situation since 1986. I was still playing with this stuff, and I was even playing with this bad nerve neck condition for a long time, even took a chance on being paralyzed. But I just in January, this January, I had a labrum rotator cuff repair on my left shoulder. And then in April, I had a major five levels done, L2, 3, 4, 5, and S1 fusion done. And now I'm sitting here with this Achilles. And this is after my playing career. And it's not getting any better. If anything, it's going to get worse. And you know, as an athlete, you have to address these issues, you know, with trying to stay somewhat healthy and exercise and all of that stuff. But there are some real issues that that these players are having. And I have them. I have memory, shaking, atrophy, nerve damage, pain, don't sleep. I get 2 or 3 hours of sleep, and that's with taking Ambien. I get these, I call them cat naps that I take. But I never thought I'd be in this situation. My biggest problem right now, the NFL has never told the truth. And in this documentary, when they try to discredit this doctor, and when you have players who are killing themselves, the Junior Sal, I can put on. I know Dave Dierenson, who I played with, had shot himself and had his wife leave a note to study his brain. And I was just talking to Clark Gaines this weekend, who was a fantastic running back for the New York Jets, who was a union rep for a long time. And he was with Dave 3 days prior to that and had no inkling it was like that. And he felt like he was at fault to try to stop that, to do something about that. But there is a problem. I want the NFL to at least address the issues, tell the truth, let the public know what's going on, and that's the problem that I have. And then try to establish, whether it be a fund or something, to help these, not only the concussions, but the fact that these players are having problems from an injury standpoint, and try to address it. I don't know what that is, whether it's monetary or just trying to form a program just to get health care for these athletes.
Right,
but I think there should be some responsibility.
Yeah.
But when you don't tell the truth and you dance around the issues, and I have a great deal of respect for Roger, and I always thought he would want to do the right thing and try to do the thing for the players, but then there's some other politics that are played where you don't think that's going to really happen. I've done many, many numerous interviews, and the only thing I've ever said, I just want the people to know the truth. I want them to educate on what some of these players are going through. And if some of these things are related from playing with this brain, then just say the truth. But don't try to dance around the issue. Don't try to, I know they've donated money to different platforms to make it like they're trying to do something. And they're addressing these issues now because it's a serious problem. But I want them to tell the truth, and that's what I feel like the NFL has not done, and they could get better with that. And I just want the public to know what is really happening, and so you can educate yourself, and some of these players can educate themselves. And there's nothing you can do, I don't care, equipment, trying to change the rules.
Right.
You're
going to
always have the
–
it's a contact sport. You're going to always have a – I mean, just – when you get tackled, sometimes it just you slip it around and you have a head-to-head contact. But I just remember as a high school player wanting to hurt somebody, not intentionally that you want to just make them pay. I would hurt myself sometimes, but it wasn't proper. It just wasn't proper. So you and they're addressing those issues on how to really tackle proper. Because I'll tell you, you hit the wrong way. Your neck, your head, something's going to give. And that's why you have to learn the proper techniques. And I think they're going to get better with that. But you're always going to have these collisions. But I just hope the NFL will take care of these people that need to be taken care of properly as far as the responsibility. Now, as a player, this is what I signed up for. You didn't know the repercussion. I'll be the first one to tell you, if I knew what I knew now, the way I'm feeling, there's no way I would play this game. And if I did play it, I would certainly train in a different way. And we didn't have the training facilities like they do now in the different camps. You can try to train. You're kind of on your own. But, taking shots and taking medications, the trainers would tell you 50% of Wesley Walker is better than 100% of your backup, which is a joke. That's, you must be out of your mind to believe that. But when you go out on the field and you're not 100%, you're taking a chance of getting seriously hurt. And over the years, and that was the reason why I didn't stay healthy, because I went back on the field either too early or you're practicing hurt. And when you don't have coaches that know and can really see those things and really take care of their players, and that's what Rex Ryan does with his players, and it's certainly not like that now where coaches can really kind of take care of their players a little bit better. We didn't have that luxury, and I wish they did, and maybe – I would have been able to have more success on the football field. But now you know what's kind of happening. I wish I could do it over again because, you come a little bit smarter and wiser. But from a physical standpoint, injuries are just inevitable. This is part of sport, But you have to know what you're getting into and you make those decisions. And we made that decision. I wouldn't change it for the world. But I know if I had a choice of feeling like I am now, opposed to not playing it and feeling good, I'd rather not play and feel good.
Wow.
Well, Wesley,
because we certainly didn't make the money they're making now.
No,
I guess it would be
definitely
different. But you cannot tell me, I don't care what amount of money, if people are suffering from this brain trauma and they get Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or dementia, you can't tell me. You're not even, I don't care how much money you're going to be awarded, you're not going to enjoy it, And hopefully some of the families will enjoy it if they get it, but we're at a stalemate right now, and they haven't made any headway, and the judges already said there's not enough in the funds, but it's really a joke, and I just want the people just tell the truth. That's all I want. So then the public and you guys, you can make a true assessment how to really judge this thing. If you really knew what was really going on, you would be appalled.
Yeah. Well, you know what? We're gonna spread the word for you, and our audience is listening, and they get to, hear it from a professional, former player.
Well, if you see the guys that I see, and there's a lot of guys that you don't know, and some of these guys have been part of the New York Jets team. They're not the same people, whether it's related to, which I'm pretty sure it's related to this brain trauma. you'll be amazed and some of the problems that some of these guys are having, whether it be financial or
physical. I've met players out here in Arizona. I've met players out here in Arizona, and I know that it's very difficult. Wesley, it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much.
First of all, heal up physically, heal up that leg, and then hopefully, you know, you spread the word, and this whole this class action lawsuit thing at least brings to light what's going on, and folks really start to tell the truth, like you say.
Well, yeah, but it's up to you guys too, and you're a big part of that. And you know, I don't know why not enough of the exposure with you know for his publicity with the media hasn't come out there, and I just wish they would expose it, even just to say, you know, you're going to have people that are going to be on the other side of the fence, but let's at least have the dialogue. Let's let the facts get out there. And but I'll guarantee you, a lot of people don't know, and they would be shocked if they knew what was in this lawsuit, what was pending, some of the things that have happened over the years, why we got to this point and how it's gotten to this point. And it's just so disappointing, and especially as a player, you play this game that you love, and it can be so damaging, and you would hope that the people that made this game good would do their best to try to make it better and also to try to protect their players. But unfortunately, it doesn't really work like that. But I want people to know the facts, and it's important that you guys are addressing these issues and to keep coming out to make these issues come to the light in a positive way for everyone, and the NFL included, because I'm not here to fight the NFL. I just want the people to know the truth and what people are going through. And you would be shocked at some of the stories out there if you really seen some of the people, and I've seen it firsthand.
Wow. Amen. Wesley, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much, and we'd love to have you back either around the Super Bowl or next season to talk some more and even update us on where things are at. So
I'm here. I can't go anywhere now.
Well, we appreciate the time, Wes. Thank you so much.
You got
feel
it.
Better start you. Soon. All right.
Get better real soon.
You got it. Thank you. I appreciate it. Have a good day.
All right. Take care. Bye-bye.
Wow. That was amazing. Legendary Jets wide receiver, former wide receiver, Wesley Walker. Ray, you know, when you think about the stats and you, like he said, and just systems and coaching and everything, we remember how good he was. We remember Altoon. And you know, in these days, they would have been amazing with the way the game is. And it's
he was real humble with that. I gave it to him, and I said, look, with these rules they can't even touch you, because Wesley was a little guy, I mean, compared to Altoon, you know, and so this guy averaged 19 yards a catch.
That's a lot. Very few people
you could
doing
do bump
that.
And run. So,
that was great. That was great. I mean, you know, it's and like he said, it's a family, and you wish, you can obviously hear that he has that desire for, and I think all sports teams should do that, to reach out to their legends of the past and to create sort of a family, because, you know, like he said, for Marvin Powell, you know, was his best man, and he doesn't even know where he is now, and that's a shame. You know, and these guys were in the trenches for years together, and what more family, you know, do you have than the guys that you, you know, broke your bones with and, you know, made your bread and you're living with? So, you know, we definitely, you know, it's sad.
Yeah, that
to see,
was great.
You know, the
sad
what
and great at the same time. Very informative, you know, to get an ex-player's perspective. He said, look, you don't know what's happening behind the scenes, right? You see these football players in their 20s and 30s when they're on the field and they're performing. But, you know, when you're in your 50s and your 60s, all of these hits and all this
it adds up.
Know, brain trauma, it adds up. Yep, sure does. Yeah. But let's move on with the show.
Well,
we got a quick-hitting show now. We got about 10 minutes left.
Before we get to the NFL, real quick, Heisman Trophy, Mariota, Amari Cooper, and Melvin Gordon, who wins the Heisman?
It's Mariota all day, every day, and twice
only
on
two
Sunday.
It's got to be.
May not immediately step in, and it's funny because theoretically these other two will be better pro prospects, at least initially. They'll hit the field and do better in the pros. Marcus Mariota really has to learn how to play. But Marcus Mariota has to learn how to play the NFL game. But right now in college, he's as good as it gets. You know, this guy is really unstoppable, especially in that system that they run over there at Oregon.
I I'm one surprised, though, Ray. I'll say this. I'm a little disappointed in most years past they have five guys come to New York, you know, only having the three. I'm surprised that even Dak Prescott and Trayvon Boykin from TCU didn't get the votes or weren't considered to come. I don't know, you know, what the story is behind it this year and why they only have three finalists, but I thought...
No, I agree. Give TCU, give people some love.
Boykin had an amazing season for TCU. I would put it in the order of I'm going to go Mariota, Gordon, and then Cooper. That's how I think it will finish.
Well, I'll probably go Mariota, Cooper, and Gordon just because his team is going to be much better. Cooper's team is obviously going for the national championship. So
and
Mariota's
last night
team.
They all won a bunch of awards. Obviously, Mariota, he got three. He got the Maxwell, Davey O'Brien, and the other one. And then Fred Berlishnikov, who was the best receiver Cooper got. And then... was it Doak Walker, the award for running back?
The running back, yeah. Gordon got that, yeah.
Yeah, Gordon got. So, you know, obviously it's looking like Mariota getting three awards last night that he'll win the Heisman. So we leave that. Now tonight, we got to talk about the NBA. Not too much about the Kobe video yelling in practice. I think it's, you know, theater and silliness. And it, you know, look, it's practice and Kobe does that. But more importantly, 31 points tonight against the Spurs on ESPN at 9:30, and he will pass sort of his idol, Michael Jordan, in scoring and be third on the scoring list. Whether he does it tonight or over the weekend, he's going to do it. How do you feel about Kobe being Bryant and just his legacy and being the third scorer in NBA history?
Unbelievable. We saw him as a rookie throw up an air ball against Utah in the playoffs, and then finally, you know, Phil Jackson came and Shaq came, and the whole deal, you know, was sealed. This guy is phenomenal. He's probably going to always be a hair short of Michael Jordan, but really only
a hair short
of Michael Jordan.
Yeah,
that's okay. Five championships, only won one MVP, which is a shame. This guy dominated his, you know, his position, obviously, and dominated the NBA for many, many years.
Have more than
but
one MVP. Yeah.
The five rings stand for themselves. That puts him in elite category.
And just the respect. I mean, I think even at this age, how he's playing, scoring 25 a game and coming back from the injury, the discipline, the work ethic. And listen, like Jordan, Kobe played offense and defense. Not too many guys have done that. Dwayne Wade maybe for a stretch there, a two guard. But how many there's not too many two guards. Yeah, the young guys, who is it, Bradley Beal, Klay Thompson, but they're not like Kobe. And I don't even know.
No, I can only really think of LeBron. Of the stars, I can only think of LeBron and maybe a budding star, obviously Tim Duncan, at the end of his career, but Anthony Davis. I mean, there are very few people that can dominate on both sides of the court. And it's fantastic when your MVP and your all-star and your best player and the best player in the league plays defense. I mean, I think that's always a good sign.
All right, let's get to the NFL. I mean, obviously, right off the bat, my Steelers are going to beat the Falcons. There's not much to say about that. But we got to talk about the Miami Dolphins at the Patriots. Obviously, Miami won first game of the season, caused all the talk about the Patriots. Patriots are 7.5-point favorite. I think it just comes down to this. The Patriots are determined to keep and get the number one seed. They've been on a great run. The only hiccup was the Green Bay. I believe that they take care of the Dolphins with that inconsistent Miami offense. I'll go 27-17, 10-point win.
Yeah, I agree. I think New England has too much, especially up in Foxborough. They need to win out to have all the games go through Foxborough because they got the tiebreaker against Denver. So I think they win pretty easily. I'll say 30-20.
Okay. Now, this is a big one in the AFC South. The Houston Texans at the Indianapolis Colts, they're two games behind them. You know, people talking this J.J. Watt stuff, MVP, and we've mentioned it or whatever, but I don't think realistically a defensive player in this day and age can get the MVP. He's probably in the top three or four, though. But I think Andrew Luck is going to find a way to show that he's the one that needs to be considered for MVP. I think the Colts get a win in a very tough game. Texans have never beaten them in Indianapolis. And I don't think it will happen now. I think they win 27-23 Foster will have his day, but I just think Boom Herring and the Colts, T.Y. Hilton, too much.
I think even if Houston were fully healthy, they'd have a problem winning in Indianapolis, and I don't think with Foster a little bit banged up and Andre Johnson probably not going to play too much Indianapolis offense. They're hoping to that Boom Herring can help stabilize that running game. Indianapolis wins 31, pretty high scoring game, 31-26.
Now we've got the Green Bay Packers on the road in a tough game with the, you know, the Bills still mathematically alive for the playoffs. I'm not sure if is Eddie Lacy going to play or not. Have they updated that? I know he's questionable, but I'm not sure if he's going to play in this game. That's rough. Starks is good, but I think they need Lacy. But you know what? They've got the sheriff. Well, not the sheriff. That's Peyton Manning. But they've got Roger the Dodger, Aaron Rodgers. I don't think the Bills have enough offense, and I think their defense is fantastic. I think they lock up the Packers for a half, and then it's just too much. I think the Packers win 28-20 over the Bills.
I agree. I think the Packers keep it – I should say the Bills keep it close. The Packers eventually pull away in the second half. They win a pretty close, low-scoring game. I'll say 24-20 Green Bay.
Now this is the moment we've all been waiting for, a great AFC North matchup. The Cincinnati Bengals, whatever you want to call them, against Johnny Football. He's playing Ray, Johnny Manziel, and fighting for their playoff lives.
Our guy, Johnny Manziel!
It's finally happening. Your boy Marvin Jones had to apologize for calling him a midget and, you know, the wrong term and yada, 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 whatever. 8-4-1 against 7-6. And Ray, I'm here to tell you, not so much a Johnny, but they're at home and that Browns defense and the fact that Crowell will play, he's a little banged up too. I think Cameron and Gordon will finally get going, and I think Manziel will do what he needs to do with Shanahan calling the right plays. Like Wesley Walker said, it's about the system and the coordinator and the plays.
And with Josh Gordon on the right routes, though.
That's right.
He's kind of been checked out.
Look, I think they're all excited for Manziel. He's going to get a rushing touchdown. He might throw one passing. He just needs to not turn it over. The Browns win a tough battle. How about this? 24-23, Browns beat the Bengals.
I'm going to go the other side of that, and I'm going to say that Manziel actually plays well, and I think Manziel will be a star in the NFL. I think he'll be just below that, you know, top five, top ten quarterback, but he'll be a very good quarterback, you know, a la Russell Wilson kind of puts a stamp on the game. I just don't think it comes this week. I think the Bengals, the most enigmatic, up-and-down, erratic team in the NFL, actually puts it together one week, getting ready for a playoff run. I think Dalton and Hill, A.J. Green, Mohamed Sanu, too much. I think they put 31 on a very good Cleveland team. I just think Cincinnati finds a way to put it together. And Johnny Manziel leads them to a decent 23, so 31-23. Manziel plays well, but not well enough.
Okay, we still got three more games. The Broncos at the Chargers. This one is really hard to pick. I think both teams are playing well. I think the Chargers know them and play well. I'm gonna go for a shocker. For some reason, I'm just feeling that they can make it happen. Ryan Matthews does enough. Maybe, I don't know if Julius Thomas is definitely playing, but maybe they're still off a little and their passing game is not as solid. You can't run as much against the Chargers defense. I think has been stepping up. And I think the Chargers find a way to win this game 27-26. They upset the Broncos.
I like the Broncos all day in this game. I think the Chargers, when push comes to shove, Keenan Allen is a little too inconsistent. Antonio Gates also has a couple good games, then has a bad game. Phillip Rivers has had a great season, but Manning's playing better. Their running game and C.J. Anderson, and if they start getting their running game back, it will be great for them in the playoffs. I think the Broncos win big. I think they win 34-20. They take out some revenge on the Chargers.
Wow. Now we have those Niners, the struggling Niners. This is their last gasp, Ray, to save their season at Seattle. And I think it's too late. I really do. I think they're breaking up at the seams. I don't know if it's Roman or Harbaugh or Kaepernick and not doing the pistol, whatever it is, the running game, the O-line, it's all too much. And the Seahawks are going to dominate them defensively. Bobby Wagner's back, Legion of Boom, beast mode, and Russell Wilson is just too much savvy. The Seahawks win 23-13 over the Niners.
Wow, you got the Niners almost going 13. I think the Seahawks win this game. I think it's a close game. Everybody's planning for next season already in San Francisco. Harbaugh's going to be gone. They have to decide what they want to do with Kaepernick in terms of do they bring in a quarterback coach? Do they reinstate the pistol? They don't know what they're doing. They have so much talent there. They should be better than they are. So I like the Seahawks, though, 21-17 in a low-scoring game.
21-17. You're giving them a little potential there. Okay. So we've got the Sunday night matchup. This is obviously the Lions will take care of the Vikings. But this is going to be big. I think your Cowboys are going to Philly for some revenge. I don't like the way the Eagles looked against Seattle. Now, obviously, the Cowboys don't have that defense. I think McCoy is going to have a big day. I actually think the Cowboys are going to go on the road where they play better at 6-0, and they're going to beat the Eagles because they play better on the road, and I think they can sort of slow down McCoy, pick off Sanchez, and I think they'll be able to stop them enough and then do enough with Bryant and Murray, who to me is the real MVP in this league, DeMarco Murray, who gets about 120 and a touchdown. The Cowboys will go to 10-4. The Eagles will go to 9-5. I have the Cowboys 27-24 over the Eagles in Lincoln Financial.
I like the Eagles in this game. I think the Eagles are tough at home. I think Sanchez is not Nick Foles, but I think he has enough weapons around him where you can kind of hide him and make sure that he – you know, does the right things, gets the ball to his playmakers, and look for big games from Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy and bounce back. I think the Eagles do a decent job wrapping up Murray, 90 yards, 100 yards, putting some pressure on Romo. I think at the end, Romo may throw an interception in the fourth quarter. So I look for a tight game, but I like the Eagles. I like the Eagles, unfortunately, as a Cowboy fan, 27-23. Iggies.
Man, I tell you, you go against your Jets, your Chargers, and your Cowboys. Oh, man.
I call it like I see it.
Boo. The crowd goes boo. No. I feel you. Hey, so let's pick Monday night just in case. We might come back on Tuesday. Tay's got a little surgery to take care of. Nothing major. Don't worry about me. I'll be all right. But we might come back on Tuesday and sum up Monday Night Football and the rest of the league and everything. So the Saints. And obviously this whole Aaron Cromer and Jay Cutler thing and the crying and the apologizing, it's a mess. The Bears are a mess. The Saints are a mess. But I think the Saints, like they went to Pittsburgh and played a great game, maybe they just need to get on the road because they're not doing it at home. And they're sort of like the Cowboys in that sense. I think the Saints will go to Chicago and sort of – you know, the best of the worst for that NFC South, right? I think that they could do enough where they can beat this Bears. The Bears, it's just ugly, Ray. It's what they've been doing is bad, and I think they're going to miss Brandon Marshall. I have the Saints winning this game. No defense is good, so I'll say 31-27, Saints beat the Bears.
Both of these teams are a mess. I think the Saints
are less of a mess?
Have a chance, are less of a mess only because they have a chance to win their division. So at least they're right. A mess with hope. Chicago's a mess without hope. However, having said that, I'm going to remind you that Carolina and Cincinnati did something a few weeks ago, that the Saints are 5-8 and 2-4 on the road. The Bears are 5-8 and 2-4 at home. I'm predicting a tie. I'm predicting 30-30, and they're going to tie. Both of these teams are a mess, and they're both going to walk out of their tie.
Real question is, and we're so glad Cam Newton's home and he's well. He probably won't play this week. Maybe he can come back next week. You know, truly blessed that he did not die. I mean, that was a bad car crash, Ray, and was so close to going over the overpass. Does Derek Anderson lead the Panthers over Tampa Bay, who he beat in week one? Can the Panthers stay alive for the division?
They can. They can. And I think without Cam Newton, they actually give the ball to their, you know, they distribute the ball. I think they rely a little bit too much on Cam in the red zone. And maybe Derek Anderson remembers when he was pretty decent years and years ago. So, yeah, I think Tampa Bay is that bad that they can beat them.
Yeah, I believe the Panthers will win as well and sort of stay alive. That division's weird, but I think the Saints will win it because I got them winning. You got a tie. That's comedy, because if they tie and the Panthers win, oh, man, and the Falcons lose, then it's total anarchy. Then I think the Panthers and Saints will be tied for first going into 2 weeks remaining. Ray,
right.
It's been fun. Wesley,
great
we didn't
show.
Get
thank you to Wesley Walker.
We will talk baseball promise on Tuesday's show. With all the winter meetings, the signings, it's not over yet, so we'll catch you up to speed and give you our thoughts on the Cubs and Dodgers and White Sox and all those moves. So we will definitely talk that. But great show
with
Wesley
Walker. Have a great sports weekend. We'll see you on Monday or Tuesday. Check the website. Check the Twitter feed.
Yep, RayandTayToday.com. Thanks for listening. And like always, give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word. Give me a statement, I might spread the word.